So good to be here at 6 p.m. If I haven't met you before, that would be cool to meet you later on. I'm married to Soph and we go to 4 p.m. with my little four-month-old Reuben. And at the moment, during the week, I'm studying at Bible college. And we decided to do that together because we're convinced the news of Jesus is so good. We want to give our lives to sharing that with as many people as we can. So it's a real privilege to be here tonight with you guys and open up God's Word. And usually at SALT, we work our way through a book of the Bible, one book at a time. But over the last few weeks and the next couple of weeks, we're looking at a series about different things that Jesus brings. And this Sabbath, we're going to be looking at the rest that Jesus brings. It's going to be really good. I want to start off, how's everyone traveling at the moment? How are you going? Last time someone asked you how you were feeling, what was your answer? I reckon it's becoming more and more common to hear answers like, yeah, I'm going okay, but work's pretty busy at the moment. I'm good, but I'm pretty stressed. I've got all these deadlines at work coming up. I'm feeling pretty tired this week. Life's pretty hectic at the moment. Have you said any of those recently? I wonder if you can relate to that feeling. And I don't think, as a culture, I don't think we're more whingy than we used to be. I don't think are suddenly just whinging and complaining about what we have to do. And I also don't think that we're not suddenly not able to get as much done. We're suddenly a lot slower at all our tasks, and so we feel more busy. I think actually the pace of our world has sped up. Everyone wants to have a good career and really good relationships, and we want like time to spend in our hobbies, and we want to go on really nice holidays and enjoy good rest time there. And those holidays aren't cheap, so we've got to work longer hours to afford the good holidays. We want to seize the day every single day. And then we want to make sure everyone knows about it on social media afterwards. We're getting pulled, aren't we? All these different directions. We're getting pulled around, and it's exhausting. I think as a society, we're weary, we're burdened, we're tired, and we're stressed. Do you feel that? I know I feel that at the moment. And so I think as we look at what Jesus has to say in Matthew 11 and those great words, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I think we need to hear that tonight. It's a big promise, isn't it? We all want that, don't we? We want to feel less tired. We want to feel less burdened. Isn't that what we're all looking for? Wouldn't that be so good? But actually, Jesus says he's got rest for a much deeper problem that we have. And it might be one you didn't even know you had. Jesus gives rest for your soul. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. How about I pray and we'll get into it. Pray with me. Father God, thank you so much for your word. I pray you'd help me to speak clearly tonight. And I pray as we look at what Jesus offers, what he brings us, the true rest that he brings, I pray you'd help us to understand it. I pray you'd help us to take it up and that we would receive the true rest that Jesus is offering us. Amen. It'd be good to keep your Bible open as we work through tonight. We're going to start in verse 25, so open up to Matthew 11. If you've got a Bible on you, you can look at the person next to you if you don't. Verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Now, what's going on here? When I first read that, I was like, what's the these things that Jesus is talking about? Who are the wise and the learned? I think we need to kind of zoom out a little bit, see this verse in its wider context to make sense. And so just before this section, Jesus has been going to different Jewish towns, and he's been telling people who he is and what he's come to do. He's been telling them that he's God's sent one. He's the promised Messiah, the one that God promised to send to his people long ago to save them. But the people in these towns, and particularly the leaders, they don't get Jesus. They think he's lying or he's delusional, he's crazy. They think he's actually against God. And so they kick him out, they tell him to get lost. They don't want anything to do with him. So we see in verse 25, that these things, what that means is it's these things is who Jesus really is and what he's come to do. He's God's sent one. come to rescue his people. And it's also clear from verse 25, some people get it and other people don't. And maybe the ones you'd expect to get it are the ones that don't get Jesus. And I think if you know that these things is who Jesus is and what he's come to do, it leads us to another question. What does Jesus actually bring for us? So look in verse 28 with me. It says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And we read that and we go, great, that's fantastic, isn't it? Jesus is going to fix all my problems. He's going to pay off my mortgage. He's going to do all my assignments for me. He's going to make my kids go to sleep. I'll finally get the rest that I need. We think that Jesus will fix all of our problems. But have a look at what he really promises. See in verse 29. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." See, that's what Jesus is actually promising, something bigger. He says we'll find rest for our souls in him. And that's really good, but you might be thinking, great, I didn't even know my soul needed rest. Now I've got another thing to worry about. But so that's what we're going to unpack tonight. What does Jesus mean when he says he'll give us rest for our souls? So come back now to verse 27, and I think he clarifies it for us. He says, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." So what Jesus is saying here is that through him you can know God the Father. He's saying that the real rest that we need is to know our Heavenly Father. And the implication of these words is that without Jesus, we actually can't know the Father. That's what he's saying here. And know here, it's a relational term. It's a know, I'm in right relationship with the Father. It carries up that sense of things are good between us. And so Jesus says, no one's good with the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So what Jesus is really saying is that not knowing God the Father, that's the deep-rooted, that's the underwhelming cause of my weariness and my burdens. My need for rest, Jesus says, flows out of my broken relationship with God. My relationship with God is broken, and so I need rest. And Jesus here, in this passage, was talking to a Jewish audience in the first century. So we'll unpack their context a bit more so we can understand this for us as well. See, the Jews, they had a problem, a big one. They were God's chosen people, right? The God of the universe, the one who made everything, the one who made the highest mountains, the one that made the intricate blood vessels that pump oxygen around their bodies. That God picked this people to be his chosen people. And he told them how to live. And he gave them laws, which were really good. Laws to help them flourish. Laws to be right with God. But throughout history, God's chosen people, the Jews, they constantly kept stuffing up. They failed to keep God's laws. They couldn't be right with him. They just couldn't do it. And God was clear. He says, if you keep my laws, I'll bless you. But if you don't keep my laws, I'll curse you, I'll punish you. And so the Jews, they lived in this kind of constant state of like apology towards God. They were constantly having to do sacrifices, do cleaning rituals, take all these different things that God had given them so that the punishment for their sin would go not on them. And it's a tension that is right the way through the Old Testament, through the books of the Bible that look at God's chosen people. Even though they trusted God and relied on him to save them, there was never any guarantee that God would. They were just relying on his mercy. And I think we see that tension back in Psalm 62, the first reading that we heard tonight. And I think it's worth picking up. So flick back to Psalm 62. It's in the middle of your Bible. We'll start at verse 1. We'll just look at a few quick things. Verse 1, Psalm 62. "Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Do you see the great hope there in the Israelite, in this psalm for the Israelites? My soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. They truly believe that. Or in verse 5, look down there. He's my rock and my salvation. He's my fortress. I will not be shaken. The Jewish people really did turn to God to save them. He was their rock, their salvation. And God did time and time again throughout the Old Testament. But I wonder if you picked up on the tension when it was first read out for us. Come down to verse 11 with me. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love. And you reward everyone according to what they have done. Is there tension there? What will God do? Will he act towards his people with unfailing love? In mercy, will he pour out his mercy on them? Or will he reward them according to what they've done? Will he judge them for disobeying him? See, the Jews, they weren't sure they were safe with God because they could never perfectly obey God's law. What a burden that would have been. Can you just picture it? You know, I've got to do these things to be right with God. I've got to keep this set of laws. I've got to do all these certain things. I know what I have to do, but I keep stuffing it up. They knew what was required, but they constantly failed. A bit earlier in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus sums up the law in sentence 48. And he says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." That's all they had to do. I watched a bit of Nailed It the other day. Has anyone seen Nailed It? Yeah, it's good. Ordinary people come on this show and they try to like recreate these kind of gourmet cakes or like gourmet baked goods. And it's pretty fun. Do the other one. It's good too. Yeah. It's like an apocalyptic scene. They stuff it up every single time. Every single episode of the show is the same thing. They just can't get it right. They're not perfect. That's like God's chosen people throughout history. They just can't get it right. They're just not perfect. But Jesus' words here in Matthew 11 are for them. Come back to Matthew 11. We'll stay there the rest of the night. Yeah, Jesus' words are for them. He says in verse 27, "No one knows the Father except the Son, and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him." He's saying to the Jews, you don't have to keep God's law to be right with God anymore. You can have security with God despite the fact that you haven't perfectly followed all his laws. He's saying that through me, you can be right with God, the God who made you. Through me, you can find rest for your souls. That's so good, isn't it? Jesus has promised to his chosen people. What a comfort that would have been for them to hear. But these words in Matthew 11, I think they're also for us today. Just like the Jews, we also aren't perfect. God's perfect standard for the Jews, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's for all of humanity. That's not just for the Jews, that's for us too. But I think we've got an even bigger problem than the fact that we're not perfect. And I think none of us would say that we're perfect, would we? That would be so arrogant. I don't think any of us are perfect. But more than that, we're not secure with God, we're not safe with God, because we'll chase security and safety anywhere else. We'll chase after things that satisfy us other than God. In fact, we'll try and chase after it, things that satisfy us anywhere except for God. We've walked away from God, haven't we? And our hearts are restless. And actually, chasing after satisfaction and other things has come at a cost. We have a broken relationship with God, and our souls are weary and burdened because of that. We've rejected him, and we're not right with him. You guys know when you are with a friend or a partner in the car on the way to a party, and you have a fight. Right? That's not just me, I hope. And you're driving the car, having this fight, and you get to the party and you haven't resolved it yet. And you've got to go in, you're running late, you can't finish talking it through. And you know, you've said hurtful things. You're going to have to apologize. You're going to have to like kind of work through this later on. But you don't have time. So you're in this party and you're kind of having fun. But there's this tension, isn't there? You know things aren't quite right between you and you're going to have to, the relationship is strained. We're going to have to talk through this later. The Bible says our relationship with God is like that. Except we've wronged God more than we could even imagine. And so of course we can't have rest for our souls if there's a strain on that most important relationship. And the Bible says there's not two groups of people. There's not one group over here that know God and have a good relationship with him, and another group over here that I'll just do my own thing and God can do his own thing and we'll be all good. That's not the way the Bible puts it. The Bible puts it that there's just one group of people and we're all in relationship with God, whether you've ever acknowledged him or not. Just for some of us, it's not a very good relationship. It's a broken one. It's a strained one. That's the real cause of your weary and burden. What your soul really needs to find rest is to have that relationship fixed. And the good news is, that's exactly what Jesus does. He takes our broken relationship with God and swaps it for his perfect relationship with God. He takes all our burdens, all our guilt before God. He takes the fact that we've run after other things and chased other things, and he swaps them for his perfect life. He dies on the cross for us, taking God's punishment that we deserve on himself. And so when God looks at us, he sees Jesus' perfect life, if we'll just take Jesus up on that offer of rest. So good. And I think that word rest here, we could also translate it as relief. And it actually fits, I think, better. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you relief. Relief from the weight of your burden before God. Relief from a broken relationship. It's like that feeling when you put down a heavy bag, when you get those test results back and everything is clear. Relief. That's what Jesus is offering. It's more permanent than the rest you get from going on holidays. Definitely more permanent than Adam's holiday anyway. It's better than any rest we can find here on earth. Jesus gives us a permanent, lasting, eternal rest for our souls. And that's our deepest need. We need it far more than we need that holiday or the extra few hours break or that extra night of sleep that we missed out on. We were made to be in right relationship with God. That's what we most deeply need. Augustine, a leader in the early church, he put it really beautifully. He said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." I think that's true, isn't it? I want to ask you this afternoon, do you know that rest? Do you have it? Do you feel it? Jesus says, "Come to me and I'll give you rest." And the rest that Jesus brings, you won't find it anywhere else. There's nowhere else you can go to get that rest. And the Jewish towns and the leaders, they wouldn't come to Jesus for rest. Will you tonight? If you've never heard that rest before, if you don't know that you could have it, will you come to him for the rest that your soul desperately needs? It's such a good rest. And if you're here this afternoon and you have come to Jesus for rest, if you have put your trust in him, how good is it? How good is being certain that you're right with God, not having any of those emotional feelings, wondering if you've done enough? How good is it that the most important relationship in your life is right? You're one with your relationship with God the Father. It's such a good feeling. How good is the warmth and the safety and the security that comes from right relationship with God? Praise him that we can enjoy that. Hey, what a great blessing that is. If we're trusting Jesus, we're right with God the Father for eternity. It's so good. It's so worth having. But I also think trusting Jesus, it isn't just this kind of far off thing in the distance that I'm looking forward to. It's not this thing that's going to be good in the future. it's really good right now. Jesus gives us real, tangible rest that we can grab right now in a world that makes us weary. And I want to unpack three ways he does that with the rest of our time tonight. Firstly, we don't have to find fulfillment or satisfaction anywhere else because we can come to Jesus for it. In Jesus, we are fully satisfied, and so we don't have to look for it in other places. If you're resting in Jesus, then what you're saying is you're finding your fulfillment in him. You don't look for it in external things. You're not looking for it in like a career or your looks or family relationships. Your identity is now wrapped up in Jesus. I mean, think about it. So much of the weariness and the burden that we feel comes from the things that we're chasing, doesn't it? I need to work these extra hours so I can get ahead in my career, so I can earn enough money to get a mortgage, so I can feel safe and secure. I need to make sure my kids get to 10 different extracurricular activities every single week because I'm worried other people won't think I'm a good parent. I need to be seen at that party so I can maintain the image I'm trying to craft of myself. If we're resting in Jesus, if we're trusting him, we don't have to chase after those things. Let me be clear, working hard, family relationships, friendships, those things aren't wrong. Those are great things. But they won't ultimately satisfy you, and they don't ultimately define you. We're freed from the FOMO of those things because we know we haven't really missed out on the one thing that truly matters, relationship with God the Father. So good. And so I want to ask, is that truth true of your life? If someone was going to audit your life and how you spend your time, the things that you value, the things that you give yourself to, after a week, would they look at your life and say, oh yeah, I can see this person truly finds their rest, their satisfaction in Jesus? Or would there be something else contending for that number one spot? It's easy to turn to other things for rest, isn't it? When you're tired or weary or burdened, what do you turn to for rest? And I found that a real challenge for me this last couple of weeks, finding my satisfaction and rest in Jesus. It's so easy for me to turn to other things, to blobbing out on Netflix, even going for a run, things that are really good, but that won't ultimately satisfy me or give me the rest that my soul needs. I don't know if you can relate to this. I find myself saying, I'm too tired to spend quality time with God right now. I'll do that when I've got a bit more energy. But that's when we most need to turn to him and remember his promises. That's when we need to spend time reflecting on how good God is. How much more profitable would it be for me to have spent some time praying instead of watching Netflix for rest? To spend some time in God's word instead of going for a run? Those things are good. They're not as good as the rest that truly satisfies. Listening to music that points me to how good God is. Being in nature, reflecting on the God that made everything around us. See, we don't have to try and find our rest and fulfillment anywhere else because we've got it in Jesus. It's so good, that rest. And secondly, Jesus gives us each other to help carry our burdens. See, when you accepted Jesus' offer of rest, when you came to him to ease your weariness, part of how he does that is through other Christians. See, we don't follow Jesus as individuals, do we? As a church, if you're here at Salt Church, you're a member, you're a Christian here, we're responsible for each other now. In Galatians 6, Paul says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Jesus gives us, as a church, to each other to help carry each other's burdens. And I've seen that happening heaps at Salt. People going out of their way to offer practical help to each other. Meals being made, people praying together after church, sending an encouraging text to your mate during the week. What a blessing it is that God's given us, each other, to help carry our burdens. And there are lots of different ways that we can carry each other's burdens. Sometimes it's just being willing to listen. Sometimes it's asking someone how they're going when they say, yeah, good. Actually pushing them. How are you really going? How are you really going? It's practical stuff like meals, like sending a text, just being there for a conversation. For you, it might mean being vulnerable enough and actually asking someone else for help, because God's using someone else to carry your burdens. That's a great thing to do. One thing I'd love to see more of at SALT that we can all be doing, a big way we can carry each other's burdens, is as someone else tells you of their weariness, their burdens, we can point them to Jesus and the true rest we find in Him. Hebrews 10 says, Hebrews 10:24-25 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Encouragement here means reminding each other of the gospel, reminding each other of who God is, of His character, of His love, of His mercy, of His faithfulness, and of the promises He's made to us, and in particular, the promise that we can come to Jesus in rest. Next time you're trying to encourage someone or you're trying to carry someone's burden, which we all should and could be doing as a church, are you going to point them to Jesus who'll give them true rest? Or are you going to point them to other things? A new Netflix show they've got to check out. A change of pace. A holiday destination they've got to go to. Things that are good, but things that won't ultimately satisfy them. They won't bring them the rest that they need. How good is it as a church that we can lift each other's eyes to Jesus, the one who provides rest for our souls? So let's carry each other's burdens by pointing each other to what will actually satisfy us, Jesus. And finally, Jesus brings us a better yoke. See what Jesus says in verse 29 and 30? He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus doesn't say, I'll give you rest so now you can lie on a beach and just enjoy the rest of your life. That's not what He says, is it? He says to take His yoke. And yoke, we're not talking about an egg yolk. A yolk looked kind of like that. As a farming tool that the farmer would hook up to his oxen so he could lead them and direct them where he wanted them to go. And that phrase, take my yoke, is not just a farming phrase. It was pretty common in this general Jewish culture. If you wanted to follow a particular religious leader or teacher, you would say, I'm yoked to them. I follow them. I'm willing to be led by them. See, Jesus takes away our burdens as we follow Him. The burden of guilt, the burden of trying to chase after other things that won't satisfy. But He gives us a burden too. It's a light burden. It's not crushing. It's an easy burden. It's not overwhelming. But it's still a burden. And so being yoked to Jesus means letting Him lead us. It means seeing the world the way that Jesus sees it. Seeing people the way Jesus sees them. It means relying on Him for rest and satisfaction. Not on my own efforts. Not on anything else in this world. It means learning from Him, wanting to be more like Him, because He's gentle and humble. Following Jesus won't always be easy, but it's always worth it. It's always for our good. So I wonder if anyone's feeling that tonight. I'm a Christian, I've come to Jesus for rest, but life doesn't feel easy. Actually, life feels harder sometimes as a Christian. I've been feeling that the last few weeks. I've had a crying baby who hasn't slept every night. I've got college assignments to do and deadlines to meet. I've got relationships where I feel like I'm letting other people down. You guys relate to those things? Jesus doesn't promise us that following Him will be easy, but He says that true rest is found in Him. And I know I can give those things over to Him, and we can too. Take carrying someone else's burden, for example. Do you reckon if you're carrying someone else's burden, it will make your burden lighter or heavier? Of course it's going to make your burden heavier. But that's what we were made for. We were made to do this together. Following Jesus truly is a lighter burden, even though sometimes it's not easy. And you know, there's no option not to follow anything. We'll either try and find our rest and our satisfaction in things of this world, things that won't truly bring us rest or satisfy us, or we'll find it in Jesus, following him, being led by him, having our volatile, strained, broken relationship with God restored. Jesus truly does bring us a better yoke. So good. The Bible says that we have a broken relationship with God. That's the real, deeper reason behind our feelings of weary and burden. And Jesus speaks into that brokenness and he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." It's a promise. It's a guarantee. It's a rest that's more satisfying than anything else in this world. It's better than anything else. How good is that, that we can take that rest? I'm going to pray now that we do that to finish. Pray with me. Father God, thank you so much for the rest that we can have in Jesus. Thank you that it's a rest for our souls which are weary and burdened. Thank you that it's a rest that we so desperately are seeking after. Thank you for the rest we find in Jesus that we can't find anywhere else. Thank you that he satisfies like nothing else does. That in him we're safe in a way that we can't find safety anywhere else. God, I pray for us tonight, for those of us who have never come to Jesus in rest. I pray that we would. We would find the rest that we can have in him. And I pray for those of us who have come to him to rest countless times, but who are still feeling weary and burdened. God, I pray you'd help us once again to come to you for rest, because you truly provide it and it truly does satisfy. Amen.